It's time for another stop along the Great Wagon Road, WFAE's series exploring the history of the Charlotte region with Tom Hanchin of the Levine Museum of the New South. Today, the story of a car company in an unexpected place. In 1881, the first cotton mill opened in Rock Hill, South Carolina, the first in the state to be powered by steam. Over the next 15 years, the town's population would grow more than seven times over. By the early 20th century, that mill would have a notable neighbor, the Anderson Motor Company. Here's WFAE's Duncan McFadden with its story.
The vision for the Anderson Motor Company starts with a man named Adley Holler, who built many of the mills in the Rock Hill area, including the first. But he had other interests and the money to invest in them. In 1886, Holler went into the buggy business with his son-in-law, John Gary Anderson.
Thanks for the buggy ride. Thanks for the buggy ride. I had a wonderful time.
Anderson's great-great-grandson, Walter Hardin, says at the factory's peak, the Rock Hill Buggy Company was churning out a buggy every 20 minutes.
They would take the buggies and they'd take the wheels off and they'd band them down into a package, a little compact package, and they'd flip the seat over upside down and put them on rail cars, and then when they were doing that, the paint was still sticky. So it was quite an operation.
Anderson was a forward-looking man. He installed Rock Hill's first telephone line. It ran from the train station to his office, so he'd know when supplies had come in. Tom Hanchett explains when a new mode of transportation started growing in popularity, Anderson shifted the buggy company's focus.
When cars began to be the new technology, they started their own automobile company in the 1910s. And the Anderson Automobile was an upscale competitor to Henry Ford and the Model T, that kind of thing. The slogan, if you look at the radiator on that car, if you look real close, it says, a little bit higher in price, but made in Dixie.
That's a little bit of an understatement. Anderson started at around $1,700 compared to $345 for a standard Model T Ford.
There's one car that takes you anywhere you want to go, the Model T. Strong, sturdy, with a will of its own.
Well, the Model T was kind of the Walmart of automobiles. I mean, they just kept cutting the price and cutting the price and cutting the price. And if you wanted fancy, if you wanted high quality, the Model T was probably not the way to go.
A car comes off the end of the line every 10 seconds.
Anderson, on the other hand, finished a car about every 15 minutes. There were as many as 250 people working at the plant. The Anderson workers used their experience hand-building buggies to make the cars very luxurious, explains Joanne Zeiss, history curator at the South Carolina State Museum.
And it was these bodies where they put mahogany and South Carolina hickory and just, you know, the finest leather you could have. They put all of that experience in creating the experience of the Anderson car and the beautiful bodywork.
And the car's paint stood out from the Model T black, says Winthrop professor Eddie Lee, who wrote a book about Anderson and his car company.
You could get an Anderson car in any color. They were green, and they were purple, and they were white, and they were blue.
Andersons were also the first cars to have power convertible tops and headlight dimmer switches in the floor panel. They featured a shiny hood ornament connected to the radiator that doubled as a thermometer visible to the driver, and they reached a top speed of 38 miles an hour. But another new technology didn't pay off for Anderson, the aluminum engine block. Great-great-grandson Walter Hardin explains.
They had an engine block that wasn't real hard, and it had a metal cast iron flathead on it. And the rates of expansion were different. So the blocks began to crack. And they had a lot of engine trouble.
Anderson recalled the aluminum engines, but the fallout from the trouble, along with the car's high price, led him to bankruptcy in 1926. And even without the aluminum engine problems, Tom Hanchett doubts that the Anderson Motor Company would have survived.
Detroit had the background of machinists and material suppliers and the iron ore nearby and the big shipping and all of that stuff that no place in the South had. So you got to give Anderson points for trying to compete with the industrial North. But it was a tough row to hoe for anybody in the South, anybody in a small town. And ultimately, Anderson didn't make it.
The Anderson factory was absorbed into the cotton business, becoming part of a bleachery that processed the fabric produced at the mill. In its 8 years in business, the Anderson Motor Company built more than 6,000 cars. Only 12 are known to exist today. One of them sits behind a glass barrier inside the entrance to the old mill, now a restored office building, just yards away from where it was produced more than 90 years ago. For WFAE News, I'm Duncan McFadden in Rock Hill.